Blog Talk Radio.
Please learn more about Freedomizer Radio by going to freedomizerradio.com and also Facebook us right at freedomizerradio.com. Catch you there.
Hey guys, Proof here. Guess what? I just got a cell phone. Hey, for everyone that knows me, I'm not a fan of cell phones, but I just signed up with a company called Solavay. And Solavay is offering a plan right now with unlimited phone, text, and web for only $49 a month. Plus, if you refer a friend or two, you get a discounted rate for everyone you refer for as long as they have Solavay, not just for the first month, but for the whole time that person has Solavay. You sign up enough people, and Solavay pays you every month. What other cell phone company is going to pay you for service? Anyway, go to solavay.com/freedomizer. That's Solavay, Solavei.com/freedomizer. Learn all about it. Plus, if you sign up before October 31st, you will get this month free. And another kicker, if you sign up three people under you, you'll get another month for free as well. Plus, they're going to pay you cash. Anyway, solavay.com/freedomizer.
Want to spread awareness to your neighbors, family, and friends about what is going on in our country today? It may be things you already know, like the large number of FEMA camps spread around this country to lock up citizens like you and me. What legislators are doing to strip states and people of their sovereign rights. Or legislation giving states the power to force vaccinate under a declared state of emergency. Do your neighbors understand what is going on? William Lewis Films offers the perfect tools to inform our population about this government's tyrannical shift from a constitutional republic to a despotic democracy. Films like 911 Ripple Effect, Beyond Treason, One Nation Under Siege, Washington You're Fired, Camp FEMA, Enemy of the State, Don't Tread on Me, Blood of Patriots, The Ron Paul Uprising, even 911 in Plain Sight, William's first production, are all available at williamlewisfilms.com. Get your DVDs today at williamlewisfilms.com. Educate against the police state.
Hello everyone, Proof here again. I want to let you know about our brand new sponsor, Silver Leaf Tea. Now as you guys know that have listened to me for years, I am a tea aficionado. I have hundreds of different flavors and styles at my house, and Silver Leaf has exactly the kind of stuff that I look for. I love loose tea, great antioxidants, I just love the taste of it, and this Silver Leaf has black, they have green, they have white, they have organic. Great for hot tea and iced tea. Silver Leaf Tea, it's right on our website, freedomizerradio.com. And check it out and order it. Silver Leaf Tea.
There's a saying that the only thing certain in life is death and taxes. Well, they should include hard drive failure as well. You can ensure your data is safe by using Maximum Archive's online backup solution. By securely backing up the Maximum Archive servers, your data is protected from fire, theft, or simple hard disk failure. Don't let your data go unprotected. Sign up for Maximum Archive today. Use partner code Freedomizer at checkout time and help fund the Freedomizer Radio Network. That's MaximumArchive.com.
You are listening to Freedomizer Radio, where Freedomizers freedomize freedom.
Shalom. Blessings, Freedomizers, family and friends, saints of the Most High God. Welcome to the Sound Doctrine Christian Ministries Sabbath Show.
Thank you.
God. Welcome, Saints of the Most High, Freedomizers, family, and friends. You are now tuned in to the Sound Doctrine Christian Ministry Sabbath Show, and I'm your host, Servant Emmanuel, the Lord's servant. We are here to instruct, encourage, and uplift the name of our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. Amen. Can I get a witness out there? Amen. Hallelujah. As always, before we do anything on this program, we always take time and go before the throne of grace, humble ourselves in prayer. Join me, won't you? Amen. Thank you, Lord. Glory, glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. In the precious name of Jesus, Father God, with a repentant heart, we come before your throne of grace, Father God, seeking your forgiveness. Father God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, we seek your face this day. Father God, as we have been celebrating Thanksgiving, Father God, we are mindful that we celebrate Thanksgiving every single day of the year. We are thankful for every day that you have allowed us to live a little while longer, to try and get it right, to do things your way, to walk closer and upright before you, dear God. In the name of Jesus, we are thankful, O God. We are thankful that we are able to come before your throne, Father God, and seek repentance. Father God, we are thankful for the work of the cross, that you allowed your Son to come down from glory to die on the cross on Calvary for our sins and to take our punishment, Father God, that we might have a right to the tree of life, to be able to stand before you, O God. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, Father, we thank you for the work of the cross. We thank you, Father God, for the gift of salvation that you have bestowed upon your children. Father God, we lift up all marriages. We lift up our children to you, O God. We lift up all of those that are in the hospitals, the nursing homes, those that are behind the prison walls, those that are in the rehabilitation home, those that are in the shelters, those that are, Father God, struggling, just trying to make it, those that are homeless, Father God. Father God, we speak life into all of their situations. Father God, we have those that are going through pain and suffering, Father God, but you are a way maker. You are our healer. Father God, by the stripes of Christ, we receive victory in healness from sickness, O God. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, Father God, we pray a blessing over everyone that is under the sound of my voice, Father God. Hallelujah. That they are allowed to be here another weekend on your Sabbath to enjoy the things that you have placed in our hearts, O God. The camaraderie, the fellowship with one another, Father God. Hallelujah. For stuff and things mean nothing, O God. Father, but the things that are eternal, those are the things we value, O Lord. Love, kindness, friendship, charity, and our knowledge of you, O God. Father God, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We bless your chosen people, Israel. Father God, hallelujah. We request, Father God, that you will build us up where we have been torn down. Strengthen us, Father God, where we are weak. Replenish us where there has been drought, O God. Father God, bless each and every one, all of those that are in the chat room, those that are listening to the archives, and those that are listening live, Father God. Bless in a mighty way right now, in the name of Jesus. Bless their homes, O God. Bless them from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet, O God. Bless their finances, O God. Bless them on their jobs, O God. Enlarge their territory, O God. Give them what they need to continue to go forth, that you would be glorified in their lives, O God. Father God, hallelujah, for it is your will that we seek, Father God. It is your face, Father God, that we are trying to seek, O God. It is doing what is glorifying to you, O God, that you will be glorified through our lives, not us, O God. Father, allow us to decrease as you increase in the precious name of Jesus, O God. Father, we thank you for hearing our prayers, Father God, for you told us in your word that if we confess our sins, that you are faithful and just to forgive us of all our iniquities and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You said that you would take our sins and iniquities, Father God, and you would throw them into the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered against us again, O God. You told us, Father God, as far as the east is from the west, that is how far you would put our sins and iniquities away from us and you, O God. Father, for this we tell you thank you. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord. Glory to God. We bless your holy name. Father God, we lift up all of our children to you, Father God. Father God, strengthen them. Touch them, Father God. Turn them around. They're being led astray, Father God. Father, but we know that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, O God. I speak life into our children, Father God. I speak a turnaround in the spirit, O Lord. I speak, Father God, that they will receive your love and your understanding, O God, in the name of Jesus. That someone would speak into their life this day, O God, that would speak your truth into their life, into their minds, into their hearts, their bodies, their soul, and their spirit. They would seek your face, that they would repent as well, O God. Hallelujah, Father God. Thy will be done. Father, all the things that we could ask, Father, we pray that thy will be done. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, in our lives, in our homes, in our marriages, in our children's, on our jobs. Thy will be done, O God. Glory to your name. From everlasting to everlasting, you are our God. Father God, I bind the spirit of backlash and retaliation. Father God, I bind every demonic assignment that has been lodged against your people, O God, and I cast it back down to the pits of hell. And in that stead, I loose the Holy Ghost that comes straight from you, Father God, that the enemy should not be able to return unto your people, but that your seed will flourish into their spirit, and it will grow all the more, Father, and you will be glorified through each and every one of your children. That you will grant us a closer walk with you, dear God. In the name of Jesus, all praise, all honor, all glory is unto you. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Can I get a witness? Amen. Amen, amen. I pray that you are enjoying the Sabbath, Lord's Sabbath, on this Thanksgiving weekend. Brothers and sisters, we should always be thankful. There is so much to be thankful for. And all we have to do is look around and notice. The fact that we can look around is something to be thankful for in itself. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me get a witness today, Jesus. There's so much to be thankful for. I'm missing my sweetie Tess. Where is Tessa at? My goodness. All right. Okay. We are going to go this week into the Gospel of the Apostle Luke, and we'll be reading from the 16th chapter. And I encourage each and every one of you to pull out your Bibles. Those of you in the chat rooms, I'm going to put the link in for you guys, and you all can read right along with me. Amen. Amen. And it is written, "And he said unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig. To beg I am ashamed. I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of my stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him and said unto the first, how much owest thou unto the Lord, unto my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, take thy bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then he said to another, and how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take thy bill and write 80. And the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. And I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into their everlasting inhabitations. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? If you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things, and they derided him, said unto them, ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presses into it. And it is easier for heaven and earth to pass than one tittle of the law to fail. Praise the Lord. I've read to you from the 16th chapter of the book of Luke, the 1st through the 17th verse. See, Jesus was making a point, and we look at it, and most of us just don't get it. But see, this is all about winning souls, my brothers and sisters. This is all about being a good steward. If God has committed his word unto you, then you should be a good steward and share it with others. Do not get caught up in trying to serve mammon or money, because you can't serve two masters. It is utterly impossible for you to serve the desires of this world and want all of those things and serve God as well. It's impossible, regardless to what you may say. Now, the only way that the two even comes close is if you were rich before you got to Christ, and then you came to the knowledge of the truth of the Lord, then you started giving as much as you possibly could for the cause of Jesus. Other than that, you cannot serve God and money. It just does not work. Because what God requires to, unless you're deceiving yourself, but what the Lord requires of us requires giving. And if you are so into your money, you're not going to be giving. You're going to be trying to gain more money, and you're going to try and have more, and you're going to try and have this, and you're going to try and accomplish that. It's not about you. If you really got God, if you really found the Lord, if you are really seeking the face of our Lord and Savior, then you want to do everything you possibly can for everybody else, because you have the mind of Christ. Christ loved us so much that he died for us. Died. Literally died for us. We would find it hard to die for our children. Oh, we say it. But God forbid we actually come into that situation where we had to. A lot of us would fail that test. A lot of us would fail that test. But my brothers and sisters, commit your way unto God. Don't worry about the things of this world. Don't worry, as Christ said, don't worry what you shall eat, what you shall drink, what you shall wear. For your heavenly fathers know that you have need of these things even before you ask. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then all these things would be added unto thee. Amen. Hallelujah. Can I get a witness? Hallelujah. I know he'll do it. All right. We'll take our first commercial break of the afternoon. When we come back, so to say, we'll finish up this chapter that we're doing here in the book of Luke. Because there's another story. It's two stories, so we're going to address both of them. Amen? Amen. And we ask you to stay tuned. You're listening to the Sound Doctrine Christian Ministries Sabbath Show.
Please learn more about Freedomizer Radio by going to freedomizerradio.com and also Facebook us right at freedomizerradio.com. Catch you there.
Hello again, Freedomist. Proof is here, and I want to talk to you about a brand new soda maker called SodaStream. Now, the Proof House has had SodaStream for about a year, and we love the thing. We use it quite often. With SodaStream, you can have fresh-made soda in seconds. One of the big things we like about it is that there's no high-fructose corn syrup and no aspartame. There's over 60 flavors, or you can create your own. Not just sodas, they also have iced teas and energy drinks. Here at the Proof House, we make egg cream sodas all the time. Some other facts to consider here: there's no electricity, no more wasted bottles and cans, and the most important thing is that it tastes great. Keep in mind, too, this is a perfect family present for Christmas, or, hey, just surprise the family with something great. Also, for a limited time, there's free shipping, so go to FreedomizerRadio.com and look for the SodaStream link, and I hope you check out the product. That's SodaStream right on FreedomizerRadio.com.
Hey, Freedomizers, Val Villano here. I am proud to announce the premiere of Recharge Radio, my new show right here on Freedomizer. It's Monday through Thursday from 3 to 5 Pacific. Objective journalism rising against the New World Order. Being a New World Order analyst for many years, my expertise on tactics and master plan implementation carried out by the elitists who govern our world, I base my theories on objective probability analysis on both current and past events to bring a new light of understanding in the world in which we live. I believe I have a dynamic news coverage with intel information from insiders and revealing their strategy to the public to help you prepare. Along with my superior guest interviews, I also believe that we will be taking a commanding lead in quality journalism to the airwaves right here on Freedomizer, Monday through Thursday, 3 to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Objective journalism rising against the New World Order.
Hey guys, Proof here. Guess what? I just got a cell phone. Hey, for everyone that knows me, I'm not a fan of cell phones, but I just signed up with a company called Solavay. And Solavay is offering a plan right now with unlimited phone, text, and web for only $49 a month. Plus, if you refer a friend or two, you get a discounted rate for everyone you refer for as long as they have Solavay, not just for the first month, but the whole time that person has Solavay. You sign up enough people, and Solavay pays you every month. What other cell phone company is going to pay you for service? Anyway, go to Solavay.com/Freedomizer. That's Solavay, Solavei.com/Freedomizer. Learn all about it. Plus, if you sign up before October 31st, you will get this month free. And another kicker, if you sign up three people under you, you'll get another month for free as well. Plus, they're going to pay you cash. Anyway, Solavay.com/Freedomizer. Hello everyone, Proof here again. I want to let you know about our brand new sponsor, Silver Leaf Tea. Now as you guys know that have listened to me for years, I am a tea aficionado. I have hundreds of different flavors and styles at my house, and Silver Leaf has exactly the kind of stuff that I look for. I love loose tea, great antioxidants. I just love the taste of it, and this Silver Leaf has black, they have green, they have white, they have organic. Great for hot tea and iced tea. Silver Leaf Tea, it's right on our website, freedomizerradio.com. And check it out and order it. Silver Leaf Tea.
Hey, cruise on over to the Whiskey A Go-Go, Freedomizer's late night comedy show on Wednesday nights from 10:30 to midnight Pacific time. Hosted by me, Val Villano, and my co-host, Crazy Mars. We are seeking talent in comedy and music. The music we are looking for is classic rock, acid rock, hard rock, rap, pop, and blues. In comedy, we want any and all comedy skits, whether you call in live or submit by MP3. Be as creative as you want. Please submit your work at our fan page on Facebook at The Whiskey A Go-Go. So come, lift your spirits, and get away from all the doom and gloom. Warning, it's raw. It's dangerous. And we will be at our best at making fun of you. No PC allowed. I'm stalking you. You never know who and when I will swoop on the air. Unless you're there. So that's Wednesday night, 10:30 to midnight Pacific time. Right here on FreedomizerRadio.com. Whiskey a go-go. Whoa, put the brakes on. Did you catch all that? Too much coffee. Freedomizer is so addicting.
Oh, yeah, baby. Do you know what time it is? It's time to get your freak on with your host, Max Casey, right here on the Black Market Liberty Show, Mondays
are listening to Freedomizer Radio, where freedomizers freedomize freedom.
Like you said you would. On my way home, Glory, hallelujah. Have to cry sometimes. Lord, it gets rough down here, and it's, you know, kind of, it's kind of hard. But Lord, you've seen me through so many things, and I do not believe you've brought me this far to leave me now. Hallelujah. All right. Before we went on our commercial break, we were in the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, the 16th chapter. And we stopped at the 17th verse. I don't know why this was just stuck in between these two stories that the Lord told, but we stopped at the 17th. The 18th reads, "Whosoever putteth away his wife and marry another committeth adultery. And whosoever marries her that is put away from her husband committeth adultery." Then he goes into the second story. And it is written, "There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that that which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou would send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto them, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto him to them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Hallelujah. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, and the doing of his word. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. So the Lord was making a very distinct point through this parable that he told, and and he wanted to illustrate what's actually going on. What happened to the rich man that had good all his life and thought about himself? He lived good all of his life. Overlooked the poor beggar man that was right outside of his gates. He just wanted some food. He wasn't saying take care of me. Although it probably was in the rich man's ability to do so. But he just wanted some food. So now, both men died. Here comes the reward. The rich man lifted up his eyes in hell. For all he thought about during his life was me, myself, and I. Lazarus woke up in Abraham's bosom in heaven. Glory to God. Now, here is the thing that really has always gotten to me about this story. The rich man looked up and saw Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. My brothers and sisters, this is an insight that a lot of people overlooked that the Lord told us. Here to tell you that we need to pay close attention to this. And it is showing what's going to happen. Not only if we don't repent and choose hell, but we'll be able to see those up in heaven. Brothers and sisters, to me, that would be a hell all in itself, to see those that made it that I knew. Able to talk. There's nothing worse than knowing this person was around me all the time and he was talking all that God stuff and all that spirituality, and I didn't think about it, to find out that, oh my goodness, he was correct. And now I'm down here burning in hell for all eternity. And there he is, or she, and they made it in. I mean, that's a hell within a hell. You're being tormented and burned, and then you have to see this. Brothers and sisters, I want no parts of hell, no kind of way. I want to do whatever I possibly can to help everybody I possibly can. I don't do this show for money or anything. And we're here on Freedomizers 3 days a week. Also on our ministry radio station on Friday mornings as well. The Lord provides, and I put the money up out of my pocket for things to go on for the ministry. And I'm not doing it to be glorified. Matter of fact, to be honest, if you go to the ministry's Facebook page or the ministry's website, a lot of things that I write, a lot of people don't too. So, you know, I'm never going to be the next Joel Osteen, the next T.D. Jakes. That's never going to happen to me, because I'm not preaching the lies and the deceit and the deception that they are preaching, and all the God wants you to have this and you can be prosperous and everything. Well, in this story, the one that was prosperous didn't have a good outcome. See, because it takes so much to make money. I'm a simple man myself, my brothers and sisters. I've worked construction all my life since I was 9 years old. Make a decent living at it, don't get me wrong. But I've always gave. I've always did what I could on the side for other people, for little or nothing. I never charged people, you know, what I knew. As a matter of fact, most of the time when they would let me know what somebody else had told them something had cost, I would definitely make sure I go way up under that to let them know that I wasn't doing it, you know, for the money. I'm trying to be a blessing. And that's a blessing to me, because it always paid off. And I was always willing to, you'd be surprised, my brothers and sisters, the fact that I had that type of heart, how so many of these prominent contractors here in Chicago were willing to teach me. So, you know, now you can't take it from me. I knew a guy that specialized in plumbing. I think I've told you all about him before, but this guy's blind. Bad. This guy's one of the best plumbers I've seen. This guy, but he have a couple of guys, you know, working with him and what have you. And when you know, you know, and he knows. And he sit up, walked into this building that I was working in. I was building the back porch, and it was a large building. And I was building the back porch, and he went down in the basement, you know, and I had the wood stored in the basement. And the gentleman would sit down there, and he would tell them, okay, follow that pipe, and you should run into a trap about, it should be about 20 feet away from that union that you're at right there. Because the building was built around so-and-so time, so it shouldn't be that far. Sure enough, that's just the way it was. So my point is, that I was blessed with something. They can close every job down there is. If people have somewhere to live, they're going to need something did to it. There's very little that I can't do to a building. Refrigeration, I can't do. Air conditioning, I can't do. Heating, I'm a whiz at. So, electrical, plumbing, and all this. So my point is, it was never about me. It was never about the money. I spend money like it was water. It was never about the money. It was always about doing what I can to help somebody else, even if it was misguided. When I was out in the world getting high, drinking, and doing drugs, I was always the guy that didn't mind sharing. Never. I thank God for that right to this day, because with the type of money that I was making, if I had not had that heart to give, I would have been killed myself, because I would have did way too much drugs. And I've seen those people that hoard everything and whatnot and don't want to share and what have you. And those people be messed up. And I thank God that, you know, that he didn't give me that heart. You know, it was a lesson that I learned the hard way, but it could have been so much worse, my brothers and sisters. All right. So understand, my brothers and sisters, it's not about us. It is not about us. And once we found the Lord, it is no longer about us. It is about Jesus. It is about our Heavenly Father. What do they love? They love their children. So if we love them, we love what they love. It's as simple as ABC. Amen. Amen. All right, guys, I see you. Really? I didn't know you were from Chicago, Di. All right. Praise the Lord. All right, so... Well, you go to Mr. Z's Famous Chicken. you up north, my brother. You way up on Narragansett. Oh man, you right there off of Irving Park, right? Wow, you're Northwest, as a matter of fact. Okay, so let us go to this week's Breakpoint commentary from the Chuck Colson Center of Christian Worldview. And let's start off with this one. If we're in Thanksgiving, let's do this one.
Hi, I'm John Stone Street. Today, we want to share a classic Chuck Colson Breakpoint commentary on Thanksgiving, Squanto, and the providence of God. Stay tuned.
From the Colson Center for Christian Worldview, here's Chuck Colson with Breakpoint.
Most of us know the story of the first Thanksgiving. At least we know the Pilgrim version. But how many of us know the Indian viewpoint? No, I'm not talking about some revisionist, politically correct version of history. I'm talking about the amazing story of the way God used an Indian named Squanto as a special instrument of his providence. Historical accounts of Squanto's life vary, but historians believe that around 1608, more than a decade before the Pilgrims arrived, a group of English traders sailed to what is today Plymouth, Massachusetts. When the trusting Wampanoag Indians came out to trade, the traders took them prisoner, transported them to Spain, and sold them into slavery. It was an unimaginable horror, but God had an amazing plan for one of the captured Indians, a boy named Squanto. Squanto was bought by a well-meaning Spanish monk who treated him well and taught him the Christian faith. Squanto eventually made his way to England and worked in the stables of a man named John Slaney. Slaney sympathized with Squanto's desire to return home, and he promised to put the Indian on the first vessel bound for America. It wasn't until 1619, 10 years after Squanto was first kidnapped, that a ship was found. Finally, after a decade of exile and heartbreak, Squanto was on his way home. But when he arrived in Massachusetts, more heartbreak awaited him. An epidemic had wiped out Squanto's entire village. We can only imagine what must have gone through Squanto's mind. Why had God allowed him to return home against all odds, only to find his loved ones dead? A year later, the answer came. A shipload of English families arrived and settled on the very land once occupied by Squanto's people. Squanto went to meet them, greeting the startled pilgrims in English. According to the diary of Pilgrim Governor William Bradford, Squanto became a special instrument sent of God for our good. He showed us how to plant our corn, where to take fish, and to procure other commodities, and was also our pilot to bring us to unknown places for our profit, and never left us till he died. When Squanto lay dying of fever, Bradford wrote that their Indian friend desired the governor to pray for him, that he might go to the Englishman's God in heaven. Squanto bequeathed his possessions to the pilgrims as remembrances of his love. Who but God could so miraculously convert a lonely Indian and then use him to save a struggling band of Englishmen? It is reminiscent of the biblical story of Joseph, who was also sold into slavery and whom God likewise used as a special instrument for good. Squanto's life story is remarkable, and we ought to make sure our children learn about it. Sadly, most books about Squanto omit references to his Christian faith. But I'm delighted to say that my friend Eric Metaxas has written a wonderful children's book called Squanto and the Miracle of Thanksgiving. I highly recommend it because it will teach your kids about the special instrument sent of God who changed the course of American history.
How great to hear from Chuck Colson again. I know that I and my colleagues at Breakpoint are so thankful to God for all that he accomplished through Chuck's life. And this Thanksgiving, on behalf of Chuck and Eric Metaxas, I want you, our Breakpoint listeners, to also know how thankful to God we are for you, for all the encouraging words and prayer and financial support you've provided this ministry over the years. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts. And before I go today, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that my friend Eric Metaxas wrote a great children's book about Squanto, called Squanto and the Miracle of Thanksgiving. We have it for you at the Breakpoint bookstore online. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving. For Breakpoint, I'm John Stone Street.
You are listening to Freedomizer Radio, where freedomizers freedomize freedom.
There's a saying that the only thing certain in life is death and taxes. Well, they should include hard drive failure as well. You can ensure your data is safe by using Maximum Archive's online backup solution. By securely backing up the Maximum Archive servers, your data is protected from fire, theft, or simple hard disk failure. Don't let your data go unprotected. Sign up for Maximum Archive today. Use partner code Freedomizer at checkout time and help fund the Freedomizer Radio Network. That's MaximumArchive.com.
We are officially announcing our White Hat versus Black Hat GMO Awareness Video Contest at FreedomizerRadio.com. Find a fun way to bring public awareness to the issue of GMOs and win $100 in the process. Look for details at FreedomizerRadio.com and join in the fun while reaching out to others.
I am an autonomous government agent here to steal your livelihood.
Not so fast. I'm Sovereign Filing Solutions.
And I'm the Sovereign. We're teamed up.
To bring you...
the truth without censorship.
Are you tired of being fed multi-million-dollar media lies?
Are you ready for the real story?
Sovereign Filing Solutions has teamed up with the Sovereign Newspaper to make sure you get it.
And not the BS this guy behind me wants to feed you.
Take the step, help make the change.
Oh, come on, that's not even fair. How are we supposed to rule indiscriminately if you know what's going on?
Hey guys, Proof here. Guess what? I just got a cell phone. Hey, for everyone that knows me, I'm not a fan of cell phones, but I just signed up with a company called Solovay. And Solovay is offering a plan right now with unlimited phone, text, and web for only $49 a month. Plus, if you refer a friend or two, you get a discounted rate for everyone you refer for as long as they have Solovay, not just for the first month, but for the whole time that person has Solovay. You sign up enough people, and Solovay pays you every month. What other cell phone company is going to pay you for service? Anyway, go to Solovay.com/Freedomizer. That's Solovay, Solabei.com/Freedomizer. Learn all about it. Plus, if you sign up before October 31st, you will get this month free. And another kicker, if you sign up three people under you, you'll get another month for free as well. Plus, they're going to pay you cash. Anyway, Solovay.com/Freedomizer.
Hello, Freedomizers. If you are in the Las Vegas area on Saturday, November 24th, I am hoping that we can see you come out to our second annual Freedomizer Conference. It's at the Clark County Republican Building over on Russell and Decatur. We'll be there about 12 to 6 or so. Tessa Dick, Kurt Haskell, Proof Negative, yours truly will be there among many other guests. And hey, we're going to do a chili cook-off as well. For information, just email me personally, proof@freedomizerradio, and just put the subject matter as Freedomizer event. So hope to see you guys out there.
Austin here from Guerrilla Radio, asking you guys to tune in Monday and Wednesday night after the Proof Negative show.
Right here on Freedomizer Radio, the only network on the web that freedomizes your freedom. And please, people, do not believe the hype. We are not both cynics on Guerrilla Radio.
Wait, you're the cynical one, not me. I'm the realist here. Come on, Cam, you know everybody loves you, even though you're the biggest cynic out there.
Hey now, Austin, I was talking about you.
Wait, no, no, we're talking about you. You're the cynical one.
I'm not
realist.
The cynic one. You're the cynical one. Come on. Everybody knows you're cynical.
You're the cynical one.
All right, and let us go and see what's coming up on the Freedomizer Radio Network. And we know that tonight, 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, you can join the Seneca Ones, Austin and Tammy, on Guerrilla Radio. That's tonight at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Also returning is Tiger Lily's Freedom Roar Friday mornings at 11 a.m. as well on the Freedomizer Radio Network. All right, and what happens when the heated conversation and guerrilla radio breed? The hell spawn is born, and its parents named it Organized Chaos, every Tuesday night, 10 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, till midnight. Join Vicky, Austin, and Tam for your weekly dose of Organized Chaos. All right, tonight, also, on the Watcher Society, I've got things coming up on the screen on me. I'm sorry. Hard-hitting Bible facts about the week after the American Holocaust series, part 3. Join them tonight as Mars and Lady D discuss that. Also on the 25th, therapist, lecturer, and author Sean Stevenson will be appearing on The Sandbox. He will be sharing his incredible story and much more. Tune in for that as well. That will be on the 25th of this month on The Sandbox. Also on The Sandbox, coming up in December, will be actor-director Devin Supertramp. He will be on The Sandbox as well. Check that show out. You can Google them as well. All right. So that's what's coming up on Freedomizer in the next few days.
Tune into the heated conversation hosted by me, Vicky.
Yep,
it's GMOs and chemtrails. Oh my!
We talk about anything and everything as long as it's hot.
So call in and join the discussion live Thursday nights 10:30 to midnight and Friday nights 9 to midnight Pacific. Only on FreedomizerRadio.com.
Hey, Freedomist, join me, Proof Negative, weeknights 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Pacific, as we fight the New World Order together. Right here on Freedomizer Radio, your exclusive home of the Proof Negative Show.
You are listening to Freedomizer Radio, where freedomizers freedomize freedom.
And we're back. Praise the Lord. All right, my brothers and sisters. And if you like, you can give us a call here. Our number here is 347-324-3704. Chime in with us. We're taking prayer requests. We'll also answer any biblical questions that you may have. If it's in our ability, if there's something we don't know, we will be happy to research it for you and get back to you. Amen. Amen. Our number here is 347-324-3704. Once again, our number is 347-324-3704. Okay. And let's swing back over to the Chuck Colson Center. And, well, before we do that, let's do this.
Lord,
Come on, get it. I know you can tell us. Most of us want to live after we die, but have you ever considered how to live while you're still alive? Stay tuned to Breakpoint.
From the Chuck Colson Center for Christian Worldview, here's Eric Metaxas with Breakpoint.
You've probably heard about ALS, amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, through archival footage of baseball great Lou Gehrig, who contracted the dread disease and was forced to retire. Gehrig famously told the hushed crowd at Yankee Stadium, "I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth." He might have been the only one who thought that, because just 2 years later, Gehrig died from ALS, a malady that has come to be known as Lou Gehrig's disease. ALS progressively removes people's motor functions, robbing them of their personal dignity, and many, reduced to living on a ventilator, simply drop out of sight as they await the end. Ed Dobson, however, is not a typical victim of Lou Gehrig's disease. Dobson, a one-time well-known megachurch pastor in Grand Rapids, has lived with ALS for over 11 years. It kills most people within five. And during this difficult season in his life, Dobson has refused to hide himself away while awaiting his death. Instead, he has grappled with this disease and has written a brutally honest, often unsettling account of how he has found hope in the midst of daily struggles and fears for the future. His book is called Seeing Through the Fog, Hope When Your World Falls Apart. And when you read it, you'll be encouraged and challenged. Since ALS causes your muscles to die, Dobson writes, it's a degenerative disease. It gets worse and worse over time. There are no times when it is reversed. ALS is a downward spiral month after month. It is a fatal, terminal disease. I have never been afraid of dying, but I was very concerned about the process of getting there. Indeed, one reviewer, Rob Mall, who wrote another excellent book, The Art of Dying, notes that most people today die slowly and the experience often shakes their faith, and that includes Christians. It wasn't always this way in the church. Quote, "Today, travelogues written by children who visit heaven are our best sellers," Mall writes. But earlier, evangelicals read stories of transformation at the end of life and the narratives of faithful dying. Many of the lessons of those times appear to have been lost on us, as Dobson's sometimes grim story reveals. He tells of some Christians who came to his office and offered to pray for his healing. Though no one has ever been cured of ALS, Dobson agreed, and his visitors began praying mightily, gripping his shoulders tightly as they did so. But after a few minutes, nothing had happened, so the visitors simply turned around and left without a word. Although he would still like to be cured, Dobson says he isn't obsessing about it. Instead, he's focusing on the wonder of God and on living each day with no regrets. For Dobson, that means asking forgiveness of people he has offended, learning to accept the help of others, and remembering that the significance of one's life does not depend on one's health. "I know that God and His grace are sufficient for the moment I find myself in," Dobson says. "When I wake up tomorrow, whatever the challenges, I know God will be there and will provide His grace. This is my hope. This is my strength." Dobson in no way sugarcoats what is happening to his fragile jar of clay, and I doubt he would consider himself to be the luckiest man on the face of the earth. But he is learning to trust God and give thanks in the midst of some supremely challenging circumstances, and that's a lesson we will all have to learn someday. To get your copy of Seeing Through the Fog, visit our online bookstore at breakpoint.org. For Breakpoint, this is Eric Metaxas.
Again, visit breakpoint.org to link up to the resource Eric mentioned today. You can also find out more about John Stone Street's marvelous DVD and CD teaching series on the hymns of Advent called He Has Come. Plus, you can browse our online bookstore of other great books and resources. That's all at breakpoint.org.
Amen, amen. Truly, truly, God's grace is sufficient for each and every one of us. He is a shelter in the time of trouble. Brothers and sisters, remember this one thing. The Word of God tells us that God's strength is made perfect in our weaknesses. Amen. Hallelujah. Can I get a witness? Glory to God. Hallelujah. All right, brothers and sisters. We are so thankful for each and every one of you today. We need to continue to uplift each other in prayer. There's so many things coming against us, those that are trying to live upright before the Lord, and those that are just trying to live peaceably. I understand that not everyone believes in the Holy One of Israel, but they want to get along with all men as well. And I hope that our example will let them see that, you know, we love them and that we are trying to do the exact same thing. Get along with everyone as much as we possibly can. Sure, there are some conflicts that arise and certain things that we must speak out against, you know, the oppression of others and the killing of others. All of these things have to, should be addressed by every human being. We need to stay focused, my brothers and sisters. We're all the same. None of us are perfect. And we're all trying to just live and provide for our families. Amen? Amen. So let us continue to find someone that we can be a blessing to. Let's help someone. I charge each and every one that is listening live, that is in the chat room, and that are listening to the archives as well. See, can you find someone to be a blessing to this week? Don't go and sound the alarm once you do it, because that's all the reward you're going to get. It makes my spirit cringe when I see people and they say they're doing the Lord's work, and then they've got to post all these pictures on Facebook about how they fed the homeless and how they did this for those that didn't have and what have you and everything. That's not what Christ told us. We're not supposed to sound the alarm, you know, at all about anything. No, we don't have to let, we do things in secret. We don't let our right hand know what the left one do. This is what Jesus said. We need to take all those posts down where we did something for someone else, because that's all the reward we're going to get for those things. When we do for the Lord, we just do it. Seeking nothing in return, no thanks, no glory, nothing. We know that our Father sees that we have a heart for Him, that we have a heart for His people, that we actually love one another as we do ourselves. We don't go around blowing our own horns. That phrase came from the fact of back in Christ that the Pharisees, when they would come and they would pray for the people and give to the people, that they would have these guys go in front of them and blow their trumpets. Here they come. We're coming to be a blessing to you. That's where the phrase blowing your own horn comes from, because that's exactly what they were doing. They're not helping anyone. They're helping themselves. They're trying to look good in front of the people. And believe me, they wouldn't have anything if it wasn't for the Creator of all things. They wouldn't have nothing. You know, it's amazing sometimes how in God's restraint, it's really amazing, because we dismiss Him and overlook Him so much nowadays. And from what we read in the Word of God, we always have. Like, we do something. We can't do anything We can't make anything grow. We know nothing about what happens when we plant that seed in the ground. We know nothing about it. All we know is that if we water it, it'd sprout and take root. What makes it grow into a tree? We know nothing about. When we go to the subatomic level, we're lost. I had physics. My physics teacher used to didn't really like me much, because you know they would only go down to the atomic level. They could explain that far, but when we go to the subatomic level, where things really are happening, you know, they can't get it. They can't even explain DNA. They know it's there, and they know that, you know, certain things do it, but there's no way to alter, replicate it. They try, and they come up with all of these things that are abominations, but, you know, nothing perfect like another human being like us. You know, they've gotten went as far as where they can actually reproduce another female without a human host, grow it in a petri dish and incubate it and everything and bring it to term. But a female, they can't do that with a male. Why? Oh, there's a very good reason why. Because they can't plant seed into the male. They cannot plant those reproductive organisms. Is just not there, and they're lost at that point. All right, let us take our final commercial break of the afternoon, and we'll be back. We have one more breakpoint commentary that we're going to play for you guys after the commercial break. And a couple of more songs I'm going to bless you guys with that we will uplift the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. We'll be right back right after these messages. You are listening to the Sound Doctrine Christian Ministry Sabbath Show.
Please learn more about Freedomizer Radio by going to freedomizerradio.com and also Facebook us right at freedomizerradio.com. Catch you there.
Hello, everyone. Proof here again. I want to let you know about our brand new sponsor, Silver Leaf Tea. Now, as you guys know that have listened to me for years, I am a tea aficionado. I have hundreds of different flavors and styles at my house. And Silver Leaf has exactly the kind of stuff that I look for. I love loose tea, great antioxidants. I just love the taste of it. And this Silver Leaf has black, they have green, they have white, they have organic. Great for hot tea and iced tea. Silver Leaf Tea, it's right on our website, freedomizerradio.com. And check it out and order it. Silver Leaf Tea.
In today's economy, the ability to access data quickly can mean the difference between success and failure. Maximum Archive's MyDrive service lets you have access to your data from just about any device and pretty much anywhere. MyDrive makes sure that when it counts, you can get what you need, because failure is not an option. Sign up for MyDrive today at MaximumArchive.com. Use partner code Freedomizer at checkout and help fund the Freedomizer Radio Network. That's MaximumArchive.com.
We are officially announcing our White Hat versus Black Hat GMO Awareness Video Contest at freedomizerradio.com. Find a fun way to bring public awareness to the issue of GMOs and win $100 in the process. Look for details at freedomizerradio.com and join in the fun while reaching out to others.
Hey guys, Proof here. Guess what? I just got a cell phone.
Hey, for everyone that knows me, I'm not a fan of cell phones, but I just signed up with a company called Solavay. And Solavay is offering a plan right now with unlimited phone, text, and web for only $49 a month. Plus, if you refer a friend or two, you get a discounted rate for everyone you refer for as long as they have Solavay, not just for the first month, but for the whole time that person has Solavay. You sign up enough people, and Solavay pays you every month. What other cell phone company is going to pay you for service? Anyway, go to solavay.com/freedomizer. That's Solavay, Solavei.com/freedomizer. Learn all about it. Plus, if you sign up before October 31st, you will get this month free. And another kicker, if you sign up three people under you, you'll get another month for free as well. Plus, they're going to pay you cash. Anyway, solavay.com/freedomizer.
Hey, all you lads and lassies out there. Come listen to The Sandbox every Sunday night at 9 to 10 p.m.
No,
Eastern Standard.
9 to 10:30 p.m.
Oh. Every Sunday night at 9:30.
No, at 9 to 10:30 p.m.
At 9 o'clock to 10:30 p.m.
Eastern Standard Time.
Eastern Standard Time.
Rob Nellen Live is a show exposing the fallacy of the right-left paradigm while promoting liberty and freedom. A plethora of guests will challenge the establishment, mainstream media, the New World Order, and hopefully you. Listen to Rob Nellen Live Sundays between 3 and 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time right here on the Freedomizer Radio Network.
Blessings to you all. Servant Emmanuel here. You know, these days everyone is searching for the truth, which is why I'd like to invite everyone to join me for the Sound Doctrine Christian Ministries programs every Tuesday afternoon at noon Pacific Standard Time, and now on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, right here on the Freedomizer Radio Network. We'll always have prayer, biblical studies, and take your prayer requests as well as the occasional guest. We'll still have each week's two-minute warning and breakpoint commentaries from the Colson Center, as well as great gospel music. So join us in our chat rooms at freedomizerradio.com or call in and listen at 347-324-3704. And remember, who the Son sets free is free indeed. Sound Doctrine on freedomizerradio.com.
You are listening to Freedomizer Radio, where freedomizers freedomize freedom.
Praise the Lord, and we're back. All right. I want to remind you guys, check out this Solavay thing. I went to the website, and it's all legit. And I think I'm going to have to look into that myself, because I probably may be able to get quite a few people to sign up and have my phone for free. That'll work. And the fact, I mean, come on, guys, the fact that it, you know, it's not just for the first month, you know, that's what the cable company do to us, you know, and you get your friends and you'll get a month free, you know, but it's only the first month. But here, Solavay, they're talking about, hey, look, no, not just the first month. As long as they have their phone, we'll give you X amount of dollars. I got to say that sounds pretty good. Definitely going to look into that, and I suggest you look into that as well, won't you? All right. Okay. I don't know, my friends in the chat room. Oh, my goodness. I don't know. Let them brothers. I guess they're gonna work it out. Eagle and Axe and Soul Train, and I see we had an Anonymous in there, but looked like he done left out. We had a couple of them, 7061 and 3242, but you guys, you know, we're thankful for each and every one of you, and you know, we're just trying to get along. I just met Axe Handy today. I don't think we have too much problem to worry about. These guys look like they can get along. Anyway, so let's see. Hallelujah, my soul. Before I get into the breakpoint commentary, let me slip this in on you. Sorry, wrong one.
I'm coming
low. I'm coming low.
By myself.
I'm coming by myself.
You can look for
you
me.
You can look for me.
Don't call a roll.
Don't call a roll.
For love.
I'm
coming low.
I'm coming low.
I might get low.
Please,
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 wait on me.
wait on me. I'm coming. I'm coming, Lord. Don't call the roll until I get there. Hallelujah. Lord, I'm coming. Might be by myself. Might have tears in my eyes, but I'm coming, Lord. I'm coming. Hallelujah. We need to make that commitment. Lord, I'm coming. And chase after that dream. Now, that's a dream. That's a vision. That's a dream to have. That's something to inspire for. Being rich, famous, big house, that's not a dream. It's a temporary thing. My dream is, Lord, if I could just make it in. Lord, I want to please you. I want to please our Creator, our Heavenly Father. Because this is not my home. It's always a struggle. I mean, and it's a mental struggle. That's more than a physical struggle. I could deal with a physical struggle because I could rest and be ready for the next day. But a mental struggle, you wake up mentally drained. It's not good. It's not good. It vexes my soul and my spirit very much to see how so many are going down the wrong path and not caring. You know, it is about that, but, you know, not even caring about one another. How do you get so caught up and focused on yourself that you don't care anything about who you step on, how you make it? You know, because if I made it, if I came up with an idea that, you know, gave me a lot of money and what have you, this is not something that, you know, I inspire towards, you know, because I would make sure that, you know, I would spread that money around. I'm sorry. There's no way in the world, you know. I would just have to be a blessing to others. That's how come the enemy now makes sure he fights me on tooth and nail. Because even with the little bit I have, I try and be a blessing to somebody else. Because it don't, you know, money is nothing. Stuff come and go. Can't tell you how many, you know, I've had houses full of stuff. Cars galore. Clothes galore. Stuff come and go, people. Stop hoarding and worshiping that stuff, because that's what you're doing. You know, we got to understand that none of that stuff matters. The connections we make with one another, that's what matters, my brothers and sisters. That's, and only that, is the thing that matters. All right. Let me go ahead on and squeeze in this last breakpoint commentary for this week. And okay, we're trying to find the perfect gift.
Hi, I'm John Stone Street. Today on the high holy day of materialism, Black Friday, we want you to hear again from Chuck Colson, who has a good take on Christmas shopping. Stay tuned to Breakpoint.
From the Colson Center for Christian Worldview, here's Chuck Colson with Breakpoint.
Right now, many of us are in the throes of buying Christmas gifts for loved ones, and I say throes advisedly. It's become a cliche to say that Christmas has become too commercialized. I just read in the newspaper about the near riots on Black Friday over things like waffle irons and electronic games. It's enough to make me want to skip buying presents altogether. But I got to admit, I've always had a soft spot for the grandkids. When they were young, I didn't want them thinking Grandpa was a Scrooge, but at the same time, I didn't want to spoil them either. Once they were grown, however, we started giving them meaningful gifts, like donations to Angel Tree in their names. So if your younger children or grandchildren or teenagers are expecting Christmas gifts from you, what are you going to do? Sure, the newest gadget or toy will titillate them for a little while, and it will also soak up otherwise valuable hours, and in most cases leave them with little of lasting value. Wouldn't you rather give kids a gift that will reflect what you want them to become? Gifts that will shape their minds, their hearts, and their character? That's why I've always liked giving good books as Christmas gifts. But when buying books for younger children and teens nowadays, adults can quickly run into some big problems. You may not even know what to look for or what to avoid. As I've said before, the young adult section of your local bookstore can be a pretty daunting place these days. Most people want their kids to read, but an increasing number of us are worried about the dark themes and messages and the generally inappropriate content that permeate so many teen books. Well, I've got good news for you. The book reviewers at our Youth Reads page here at Breakpoint.org have produced a new list of books to buy your kids at Christmas. If there's a young person in your life aged anywhere from 9 years to 18 years, you're going to want to go to the website Breakpoint.org and take a look at our list. It's full of books that our reviewers have read, enjoyed, and judged appropriate for young people. There are plenty of books on this list that will interest both boys and girls, and there's something for those at different reading levels. There are lots of classics, including The Adventures of Sherlock Holmes, Screwtape Letters, To Kill a Mockingbird, and Oliver Twist. And there are also several contemporary books and series as well. Some of the books are explicitly Christian, some are not, but all of them are good books that will fortify your child's mind and worldview while providing entertainment at the same time. With the knowledge you have of your kids' tastes and what they're old enough to handle, you ought to have no trouble picking just the right gift from this list. And we've got links to help you buy them online, either from our own Breakpoint store or from Amazon. And there's nothing wrong with going out and supporting your local Christian bookstore either. That's a good idea. When you find the right book, a book that may even end up changing a kid's life, it's more than worth the effort, which is why we're here to help. So go today to Breakpoint.org and click on Youth Reads Christmas Book List.
I hope you enjoyed hearing from Chuck Colson again, and he's so right. What could be better than giving the important young people in your life a good book for Christmas, a gift for the mind and the soul? Our Youth Reads Christmas List for 2012 is ready and available at Breakpoint.org. Another great gift to help your family see through the glitz and the schmaltz of the shopping mall this Christmas is Breakpoint's He Has Come DVD and audio CD teaching series. It's all about the great hymns of Advent and how they can help us to prepare spiritually and prayerfully to celebrate the birth of Jesus. That, too, is available at Breakpoint.org. For Breakpoint, I'm John Stone Street.
All right, and I've just posted the link in the chat room for Youth Reads at Breakpoint.org for you guys. All you have to do is go to the Colson Center, the ColsonCenter.org, for those of you who are listening live and listening to the archives. Just go to Colson, C-O-L-S-O-N, Center.org, and click on the Breakpoint tab, and you'll see, you know, it's a picture. It's right there on top. You don't have to look for it. It's right there as soon as you get to it. For Christmas Reads for Youth, and where you can find good books, you know, that, you know, will shape a child's life, you know, and it's a good thing. All right, Sister Mo, God bless you. Sister Mojo is in the chat room. We're always glad to see her. She'll keep the guys in line. We love you, Mo. Also, before I get out of here, because our dear friend, Dr. Prepper, our dear friend James Talmadge Stevens, he'll be in shortly, and he's going to help get us prepared. I'm getting you prepared. Wow, I'm getting you prepared spiritually, and Brother Stevens is going to get you prepared physically. Amen. Amen. For both are needed in these days and times. So stay tuned for that. Right after us, he'll be right in. And let's say hi to him. I see he done got here early today. Let's just say hi to him right quick. Brother Stevens, God bless you. How are you?
Well, Brother Emmanuel. I'm doing just fine. I'm out of town. I'm calling on the cell phone. I hope you can hear me okay.
I'll hear you just fine. I hear you just fine. Right.
Well, what I paid for this cell phone, it darn well better work. Oh, boy. You know, I rarely use it. I only take it, you know, I sit behind a computer 80 hours a week. And pretty soon you start slumping and your chest falls and you can't get it back up. You know, it's one of those
something to look forward to, huh?
Yeah. I really hope some people will call in or make comments. It's terribly difficult to talk for a long period of time about something that I consider so vital, but I really like conversation.
With no feedback. No one to bounce things off of you. Yeah. Imagine how it is for me, Brother Stevens. I'm on 2 hours before you.
I know. Yeah, but you're talking about the important stuff, which is the spiritual life.
We got to live.
Yeah, I know.
So that doesn't make yours any less important now. Let's not go there.
I just can never discern what it is they want to talk about. That's kind of the hard part, or what they'd like to hear. So to me, it's like, I said this before. Didn't you get it then?
look. Well, they might have not been listening to the show that day.
Okay. All right. Well,
I'm making excuses. But stay tuned, guys, to the Dr. Prepper Hour. He'll be up in about 5 minutes right here on the Freedomizer Radio Network. Always good to listen to Dr. Prepper. He has some very enlightening things for each and every one of us about getting ourselves together physically. Both are vital, the physical and the spiritual. And we're trying to here at Freedomizer build up both of them. Amen. I have no problem with Brother Stevenson. But I want to thank each and every one of you guys for joining me today. And if the Lord's will, we'll be back tomorrow. And we have our 3-hour program. We'll be here at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time until noon. Praise the Lord. It'll be very, very enlightening. Thank you once again. We love you. God bless you. Stay focused, stay prayerful, and stay in your word. Peace to your homes. Bye.
on the air, everywhere. It's the Dr. Prepper Show with number one best-selling preparedness author, James Talmadge Stevens. On this show, you'll learn more in an hour than some people learn in a year. As the economic and political climate in the United States continues to deteriorate, now more than ever, it pays to be prepared. Get a friend, grab a chair, sit back, and please give a warm welcome to your host, Dr. Prepper.
Well, good afternoon. I am Dr. Prepper, and it's 4 o'clock Central Time here on the Freedomizer radio show, network or channel, whichever they call it, and I'm the Dr. Prepper show. I broadcast normally over on Preparedness Radio Network. That's preparednessradionetwork.com, and there we do about 60 hours a week. Not I personally, but our group. We're very focused. Here I get to let my hair down a bit. We mentioned politics and other things that affect us, because indeed they do. And certainly in the last few weeks, a couple of 3 weeks, we've had some tremendous changes in the industry. It seems to be growing quite well compared to the way it was before. There was some hesitation after the election. Things changed. We've seen the gun shows. Prices are going up on ammunition. Some of it's doubled. And prices of guns and pistols and things of that nature have gone up also, some 40% to 60%. So apparently people are concerned, they're scared, or they're anxious, whichever. It should be an indicator to all of us that we should do something. And preparedness is really looking ahead to determine what we're going to do if and when certain circumstances occur. And that's really the best way to think of it. For me, preparedness, however, is being able to live tomorrow like I'm living today. In other words, I won't have to change my lifestyle very much. Of course, there's always the risk that some things will go away that I truly enjoy. But I won't be upset when the telephones go away and the cell phones and all the other things that take my time, and the computer is down and I don't have to sit in front of it so many hours a day in order to earn a living. I guess I could really take my serious retirement at that time. But there are some things that are that we need to recall or need to put in our mind and keep in front of us at all times. And there are 3 things that are very important for your personal preparedness, and I want to go into those. But let me finish the first thought. Most of the shows are over. I don't know any consequence that are going to be held between now and Christmas. It's Black Friday and Black Saturday, and on Monday we'll all be in the red. The retailers will be doing good, but we'll all be hurting and trying to figure out how we're going to pay for all those consequential things that we decide to buy. I hope some of you looked in the paper and saw opportunities to get products, things, and buying opportunities for things that could be long-term. In America, we need to look at long-term. We tend to be short-circuited by the immediacy of certain kinds of things. And perhaps we haven't learned our lesson. It doesn't matter what we do, right or wrong. We're Americans. We're going to do it again until we get it right. And we kind of keep doing the same old thing over and over until we go crazy. And, in fact, that is the definition of idiocy. Doing the same thing over and over, same way, and expecting to get different results. And, you know, we've done it again. But for us personally, let's get on to that. You need to take authority, have authority for your life. That's the first thing, most important thing, I think, about starting your preparedness, is to realize that you are personally responsible. And that's the second step. Take the responsibility. The authority is yours. The responsibility is yours. By the way, the third step is accountability. The accountability is also yours. So we look at the total picture and recognize that we have the power. What our God-given power is the power to choose. We can choose between this and that, and A and B, and friend one and friend two. They're all things that you, all these things give us opportunity to do what we feel is the right thing to do. If you take responsibility for your life and assume that authority, you have no one else to blame. And the last thing you want to be in terms of lack of preparedness is trying to figure out who you're going to blame for your life. So I would suggest that you remember these three things: authority, responsibility, accountability. It's no different from your job. It's no different from your life. Preparedness is just a slice of your life, which helps you become able to deal with whatever could happen to you. Now, remember, the important thing is if there's that little, remember the little stool that you sit on is very stable. A three-legged stool is stable. A two-legged stool is not. So what you want to do is, you know, of course, hope for the best, prepare for the worst, but be able to deal with whatever you get. If you can deal with it, you are prepared. If you're short, you are not prepared. Now, it's virtually impossible, honestly, to prepare for everything. You cannot. You may think you're the slickest guy on earth or the greatest gal on earth, and, you know, something can happen for which you made no provision. And we're talking here about death, divorce, the human things, the personal things that really, you know, cut us to our knees. And those are things that we don't prepare for emotionally, but we can begin to prepare for them, certainly physically, if not figuratively. So I want to urge all of you to kind of sit down. If you want to plan ahead, I would sit down and take these steps. And I call these some principles of preparedness. One, you've got to get your mind straight in order to be able to survive. You've got to determine, again, take authority. Take the authority that you have. Make a decision that you're going to do something. And that's the first step. And what you have to have in order to become prepared is the will to survive. Now, all of us are survivors. There's not a one of us who normally, most of us, would probably kill to stay alive. If we were put in a corner and someone was going to kill us, told us, we knew they were going to kill us, or we had to kill them, most of us would take the low road and live. And, of course, that's nothing wrong with that. I'm not criticizing, but we don't think that deeply about preparedness, but it could be that serious. That's obviously the negative side. The positive side is that you can help other people because you're so well prepared, that you can teach others and train others and help others with the resources you have. But you have to have the will to survive. Without that, preparedness doesn't make any sense, and spending your money on those kinds of things is a waste. The other thing you have to determine is not only do I want to survive, not only am I willing to work for it, I will never quit till I feel prepared. Now, that could leave you in short shrift occasionally, but, you know, it's an attitude. I will do whatever it takes. That means I will concentrate my budget. I will concentrate my thinking, my planning, my learning, my attitudes. I'll do all the things it takes. Because I will survive whatever happens. Now, the important thing is that what's important for us is to realize that we are responsible for ourselves. Fathers are responsible as a patriarch of duty for their family. Many fathers are absent from the home, the household, or the family. And then it falls to the matriarch, and she has a matriarchal responsibility to replace the dad and stand instead. So it's out there, and we need to assume it and do it. For those of you who are single, don't have any kids or whatever else, it's a personal responsibility, and you must grab it. Because in the long run, it's going to be difficult to find people who want to take care of you when you've done nothing for yourself. That is a tremendous drain on the economy. And as a result, if you want to have some comfort in your life, plan now to be able to keep on going no matter what happens, at least in as much as you can. Now, there will be some shortfalls, obviously. If you don't have electricity, your electric stove is going to be very inefficient. If gas supply goes out, your gas heater, water heater is going to be very inefficient. But there are backups for everything. There's a way to live. And every once in a while, we just turn the lights off, just shut down the pumps. We have a well, but we turn the pump off, we're in deep trouble. We do have some water in a cistern well above the house, and it will come down the hill, give us some, we can take a bath, and we can still flush potty. We can do those kinds of basic things. But we know that there is just a matter of time before the water drops below the valve and will no longer flow. If you plan your life knowing what your shortcomings are, what your shortfalls are, where your resources aren't, and the resources that you don't have, then you can begin to prepare. So you sit down with a tablet, with your family, and you start assessing what could happen in your particular geographic area, in your particular part of the country, whether you live on the hill, in the valley, under drought conditions, under rainy conditions. All those things have to be considered. If there are, remember, there are only the most difficult things to deal with are the weather-related things, the natural disasters. The second most dangerous ones are obviously the geological ones, the things when the earth moves. We're talking about volcanoes, tsunamis, earthquakes. Those kinds of things are totally out of our control. And they are very disastrous, very scary, and put a lot of fear in us and make us wonder about how well prepared we are. Weather, most of us deal with weather of some kind through the one, two, or three seasons, four seasons you live in. We have extreme cold, blizzards. We have heavy snowfall. We have icy conditions. Those are on the cold side. We have heat. We have people who get sunstroke in the heat. We have people who suffer from the heat. We have also wet weather. It rains. It floods. And then there's the other side. There are droughts. So we go through those cycles or through those in its season every year. We should be able to think about how we could prepare for that better and to dedicate some portion of our income to being ready so as to prevent future excess income being spent when there's a high demand on products. Shopping off-season is very smart, but it requires money, and money comes from budgeting. We always urge people, don't go into debt to be prepared. That sounds really ridiculous in a way. Well, whatever it costs, I'll get prepared. Well, part of the cost of getting prepared is getting your life in order, having finances that are free for this effort, because typically a good deal of preparedness is on top of what you already do. And having considered that, if you aren't aware of that, then you can really get into some budget problems, and budget problems create tremendous problems on the backside, regardless of what you do with it. Been through all that with six kids, four of them under four, and it was a tough time as we tried to be prepared. My kids never went hungry. They did complain a lot about missing a meal or two, but, you know, none of my kids are starved. We went to Thanksgiving dinner with him yesterday, or lunch, actually. We do it early so everybody can play ball, whatever, on a full stomach. It keeps us from sleeping after we eat. And it was amazing to note that, like the rest of America, there were some pretty healthy children there. I'm pretty healthy myself. I need to work on that also. Not become less healthy, but just have less weight to carry around and prove that I do well. So, or eat well, I should say. The important thing is that we preclude things that we can and prevent the things that we can and be prepared to deal with the things that we can. And if you can put your life in order in those factors, you will be very, very well prepared. Now, once you assess the situation, and by the way, not only are natural disasters of importance, they're also man-made disasters. If you live near a nuclear plant, there's special precautions you should take. If you live in a flood zone, there are certain precautions you should take. If you live in the middle of the Arizona desert, then obviously there are some other precautions you need to make. Assess the situation. What is the worst-case scenario, and how do we deal with it? Then, once you assess the situation, you sit down and make a plan. if it does this, then we will need to do the following things. So importantly, you must go ahead and prepare for the shortfalls. And it could be not enough food, not enough water, not enough shelter. Shelter, to me, after you follow the admonitions of Pastor Emmanuel, which is to be prepared spiritually, and that is very important. Without a spiritual driver, none of us has the strength to go forward in these kinds of things, because that is what gives us strength, that firm belief that it's something we can do and should do in order to preserve our family or our personal life or our neighbors, whatever. Once you make that plan, and it might be we will have more water because we live in a drought zone, or we will make it difficult for water to invade our home because we live on the floodplain, or we will make sure we have transportation to get out of Dodge when the poop hits the propeller. Whatever your situational problems are and where the shortfalls are, you have to make a plan to make up for it, as it were. So what are you going to do? If you have to take medication, surely you'll find a way to get additional medication so that you can be protected from being out of medication, obviously. Or if you live on a piece of equipment that requires a motor or some other kind of operator that is mechanical and driven by electricity, those are certainly things you've got to consider, because it doesn't matter about a lot of things if within 10 minutes of your machine failing, you're gone. You see, that's your first priority. How do you fix that? You consider that first, even in a rainstorm, water falling on your face, will your machine keep running so you can get out of the rain? Taking action, then, is the next step. What that means is, once you determine what your problems are, and you determine what you think the solutions are, you then have to take action and start doing. And there are a number of ways to do that. And first is, of course, formalize that plan, budget that plan, determine who's going to do each part of the plan, and the resources it will take to accomplish the plan, and then you can start to implement the plan. And taking action is how you implement it. Now, the next thing you have to do is test your plan. You bring in the food, you bring in the bandages, you bring in the guns, the bullets, you bring in the powdered milk and the wheat and the rice and the beans and whatever else, and you have it all. The question is now, can you live that way? So you have to determine how you're going to test your system. And as we do, test it every once in a while. I don't announce it. We just do it, hit the breaker, and see how you get along in the dark. See what it takes for you to be able to use your preps wisely, effectively, if not efficiently, so that you don't waste everything on a trial. Necessarily, sometimes you might, but that shows you where your shortfall is. So once you've tested your plan, you have an idea of how good your planning was, how good your homework was, how good your budget was, and how good you followed through, and now you know where you missed the boat. So what do? Now you go back and you repent, as Pastor Emmanuel would say, and repeat the good stuff, eliminate the bad stuff. It's like that song from the Second World War. You got to eliminate the negative, accentuate the positive, but don't get caught by Mr. In-Between. Take a stand, move forward. When you find out you can move your back foot, move it forward, and constantly keep moving forward. So those are some of the principles I believe are important. I think sometime back when Pathway Sage was around, we discussed that. I'm not sure. Perhaps some of you will remember it. And one of the things it requires is changing your paradigm of just getting by or not being prepared and taking on the concept of preparedness as a valid and important part of your life. So what do you do next? Once you've acquired the, you know, those are the easy steps. They're really outline items. Now you have to take what you have and learn how to deal with it. You've got preps. Do you know how to fix them? Do you know how to make food from your stored goods? Do you know how to make a fire when there is no electricity and the stove isn't working and the gas is off? Do you know how to cook over an open fire or a hot pot or whatever you've chosen to have as your backup for fire? So have you answered those questions in your planning? Because if you haven't, you're in deep trouble. The most important thing, of course, is having shelter after you have made a decision through your spiritual mentality, spiritual self. You have to have shelter. Shelter is most important, especially during particularly cold times or particularly hot times. And the shelter provides you the place where you would normally have what you consider shelter today, a place to sleep, a place to eat, a place to fix your food, some security, sanctity, and the opportunity to be safe and to have unique access to your preps, to the stuff that you put aside. That's the reason shelter is so important. It is your locus of safety. It's your locus of operation. And it's where you can keep all your stuff, because if you spend a lot of money on preps and then bug out and somebody else takes your preps, you're going to feel pretty silly. If you have to bug out, you have to bug out. That's a decision you have to make. You set your own criteria for when you go and when you stay. But you're going to leave your home defenseless if you leave, regardless of how strong the locks are. Means nothing to someone who really wants to get in your home. There's glass to break. There are walls to go through. There are windows and doors and underneath. There are explosives. There are all kinds of ways to get into a home if you really want to, no matter how big, how great a bastion of security you think it may be. So what do you do? You have to, what do you have to have? You have to have a secure shelter. In that shelter, you'll have, as I said, you'll have the basics of life, but that's where your preps will be stored. That's where all your resources are going to be. And it's probably the safest place that you can have for your family to which they are accustomed. In other words, they're familiar with what's inside, what's outside, and in the near environs. And that's very important for your mental sanctity. When things are going awry, you want as many things as possible to continue to be normal or to be recognized as normal in the face of those disasters or those situations. So we urge you, of course, to be prepared the best you can, and to work very hard to do that. Planning is primordial. Action, then, is the next step. And then, of course, reviewing your plan by implementing it, and then change what needs to be changed if you recognize, and then start again. I think that step, Reverend Emanuel would call the repeat and repent, or repent and repeat stage, because you have to recognize what you've done wrong and do something about it, or you don't make any improvements. You know, you can't keep on doing the same old thing.
That would be the very definition of insanity, looking for a different outcome, doing the same thing.
That's over and over and over, yeah. But, you know, the teaching, training and learning comes from the repetition of good things. Now, there is, people say that practice makes perfect. Not really. You can practice being wrong, and you'll get it perfectly wrong.
Perfect. Still
yeah,
perfect.
Okay. Yeah, except it gets you nothing, right? There's no,
exactly.
No reward. Yeah, you miss the reward. However, if you begin to learn the vital aspects of preparedness and determine what the criteria are for your family, we all have, as humans, we all have different needs. Somebody likes pork. Somebody else likes beef. Someone else likes chicken or turkey or raccoon. It matters not. The point is, it's all about you. What can you do to perfect your ability to continue in the vein and in the mode to which you're most accustomed? Because if you can do that, then a disaster is just somebody else's opinion of what's going on. And we've sat here when Corpus Christi, which is 90 miles, air miles away, 120 by road, but about 90 air miles away, and they're having a fantastic bout with oncoming winds and hurricane winds, and they're in a hurricane. We're up here. We don't even get cloudy skies. And I'm thinking, why is that? Because we're not in charge. We don't know. We're just up the hill a little bit further inland at the edge of the Maritime Plateau. So we're here on the coastlands virtually just after the coastlands turn to hills. And from here it goes into many mountains. They're really called foothills. They never get to be real mountains, but if you're driving up them and through them, you feel like you're in at least in mountains. The important thing is, can we endure whatever tribulations are sent us by the things over which we have no control? That also includes, now remember, the fallout from natural disasters, the fallout from man-caused disasters are the personal disasters that result. What does that mean? You know, if you lose your job, you lose your income. If a natural disaster swallows your home or wipes it away or destroys it for whatever reason, you're rather destitute. You're glad to be alive, but all of a sudden you realize your resources. Look at what happened up in the Northeast with the Sandy episode. There were people who had lived their whole life saying, oh, the poor Southern boys are always getting, you know, down there along the Southern coast, they're getting battered all the time. They ought to move up here. Look at the emphasis given to people wanting to move south now, because at least they go through this frequently. Came very close. It could have been worse. It could have been a whole lot worse than it was, because as the winds died down somewhat, they didn't push as much water. They could have flooded the whole island of Manhattan with just a couple more feet of water rise. Those are things that we have to be aware of, no matter where we live. What are the worst-case scenarios I'd have to face given this, given this, given this, and given that? And that's what I keep telling people. Sit down and assess. Sit down with your family, your friends, with your Chamber of Commerce. Get all the information you can about your area. And today there's so much available. The first responders organizations, FEMA, Department of Homeland Security, the Red Cross, let's see, who else? All kinds of county and state information is available. If you just contact them, or pretty much go online, you can find out what the greatest proclivity is for weather or for other kinds of disasters in your area. And you get, if you're careful, you see the coming of, take, for example, what is it, the bakery that just shut its doors because they had been driven to it virtually by the unions. I'm not going to say whether that's right or wrong. Unions exist for a reason. The important thing is, or the bottom line is, that the company closed the doors. I don't know how many are going to be closed next year when the financial burden of some of the legislation that has already been passed hits the fan. That is going to create for us some different. I know we have 9 employees. I don't know how we're going to eke out of the margins we're making now any additional insurance or care or coverage for these people. We can raise the prices, but our prices are going to be raised on goods and services because everybody's facing the same kind of expense in running our business. We're having some things imposed on us that are going to raise our overhead. Our overhead goes up. Our prices have to go up to cover the overhead so we profit to stay in business and keep those people employed. We're a very small business and run out of our cash. We can't borrow money at the bank. We're a small company. We do a lot of business, and we can get 30 days credit. But somewhere, some bank is letting somebody or they're working out of their capital funds to loan me the money to give me 30 days to pay. Bank won't lend it to me. That's what they normally do, not because I'm a bad risk. I'm just not willing to sign my home over to buy a load of this or a load of that, and that's really what it requires anymore, unless you have to be a Rockefeller or someone of that nature. So just be aware that there are problems there we cannot control, and we must learn to deal with them by preparing in advance for the things which could and most likely will happen. Now, we probably need to go to break, don't we, Reverend Emanuel?
Yeah, it's about that time, Doc.
You want to take that? We're about the hour. Why don't you give us a break, and we'll come back, what, a couple, 3 minutes, and back to the Dr. Prepper Show. I'm Dr. Prepper, and this afternoon on the Freedomizer Radio channel, we're talking about becoming prepared, and we'll be back in just a few moments.
Please learn more about Freedomizer Radio by going to freedomizerradio.com and also Facebook us right at freedomizerradio.com. Catch you there.
There's a saying that the only thing certain in life is death and taxes. Well, they should include hard drive failure as well. You can ensure your data is safe by using Maximum Archive's online backup solution. By securely backing up to Maximum Archive servers, your data is protected from fire, theft, or simple hard disk failure. Don't let your data go unprotected. Sign up for Maximum Archive today. Use partner code Freedomizer at checkout time and help fund the Freedomizer Radio Network. That's MaximumArchive.com.
Hey guys, Proof here. Guess what? I just got a cell phone. Hey, for everyone that knows me, I'm not a fan of cell phones, but I just signed up with a company called Solovay. And Solovay is offering a plan right now with unlimited phone, text, and web for only $49 a month. Plus, if you refer a friend or two, you get a discounted rate for everyone you refer for as long as they have Solovay, not just for the first month, but for the whole time that person has Solovay. You sign up enough people, and Solovay pays you every month. What other cell phone company is going to pay you for service? Anyway, go to Solovay.com/freedomizer. That's Solovay, Solavei.com/freedomizer. Learn all about it. Plus, if you sign up before October 31st, you will get this month free. And another kicker, if you sign up three people under you, you'll get another month for free as well. Plus, they're going to pay you cash. Anyway, Solovay.com/freedomizer.
Oh, yeah, baby. Do you know what time it is? It's time to get your freak on with your host, Max Casey, right here on the Black Market Liberty Show, Mondays at 7 Central.
Hello everyone, Proof here again. I want to let you know about our brand new sponsor, Silver Leaf Tea. Now as you guys know that have listened to me for years, I am a tea aficionado. I have hundreds of different flavors and styles at my house, and Silver Leaf has exactly the kind of stuff that I look for. I love loose tea, great antioxidants, I just love the taste of it, and this Silver Leaf has black, they have green, they have white, they have organic. Great for hot tea and iced tea. Silver Leaf Tea, it's right on our website, freedomizerradio.com. And check it out and order it. Silver Leaf Tea.
Hey there, Freedomizers. This is JC from the Sports Lounge. Join us for 3 hours on Saturdays as we take a break from politics to discuss sports at freedomizerradio.com. Come and join us each Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Pacific, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern.
Blessings to you all. Servant Emmanuel here. You know, these days everyone is searching for the truth. which is why I'd like to invite everyone to join me for the Sound Doctor and Christian Ministries programs every Tuesday afternoon at noon Pacific Standard Time, and now on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, right here on the Freedomizer Radio Network. We'll always have prayer, biblical studies, and take your prayer requests, as well as the occasional guest. We'll still have each week's two-minute warning and breakpoint commentaries from the Colson Center, as well as great gospel music. So join us in our chat rooms at freedomizerradio.com or call in and listen at 347-324-3704. And remember, who the Son sets free is free indeed. Sound Doctor on freedomizerradio.com.
You are listening to Freedomizer Radio, where freedomizers freedomize freedom.
And now back to the Dr. Prepper Hour with preparedness author James Talmadge Stevens.
Thank you, Minister Emanuel. I appreciate it. Well, you know, I asked the question during the break. Daunting. What does daunting mean? Difficult. Means difficult. Sorry. I'm an author. I live by words, so I apologize if that threw anyone off. What makes it most difficult for you to be able to accomplish achieving a level of preparedness with which you could be content? That's really what I'm asking. And I have, mine was with six children, and I've been doing this since 1974. Lived that way before in my own family when I was a child in my parents' family, and we always I've always lived in a prepared manner. The gal I married had not, and so she asked me some questions. What's this preparedness thing? And that's one of the reasons why I wrote the book, Taking the Best of Basics, which has now sold 800,000 copies, the number one all-time best-selling book in the preparedness industry. And it's not a book about guns, it's more about butter. It's not about threat, it's more about promise. It's not about failure, it's more about how to be a success. And the book is pretty philosophic, as I am. And over the 13th edition, getting ready for the 14th, and the 28th printing, it's evolved into a 562-page book, 8.5 by 11, weighs about 3 pounds. I should have printed it on rice paper and use vitaminized ink, and then at least I could dedicate the book to those who have not prepared and they have at least one meal left. Thinking about doing that in the future. But at the moment, one of the things I'd like to point out is there's a chapter, chapter 5, has a chart that lists the potential natural disasters by incidents per state, so you can get an idea of the kinds of things, both weather-wise and geologically, that could affect your life and your lifestyle. It's also a chapter of resources that you can go to on the digital version, the CD-ROM. You just click and it goes right there. In the book, you have to type it in, but at least they're underlined so you know that they're links. Those are the things that I tried to keep my foot in the past, where the basics come from, and in the current and future, where people can click a button and find out that information. There are both government and non-government resources out there, many, many websites. I will say that there are a lot of websites for people who really want to help. They just don't have the experience, and then there are a lot of people who want to help and don't have a clue. There are some people who just want to confuse you, because that's the nature of some people, and that kind of is frustrating, but I can't control that. I can only keep on doing what I've always done, and that is try to teach and train people. Teaching, more importantly than training, you have to kind of train yourself. The teaching and the learning is up to you and me. So there are pages and pages of government and non-government websites, research organizations, as well as sites where you can find the information. But the charts and tables in the book are what make it unique, so that you can determine what you want to do. My mother was very wise. I remember, I can't remember what I had for breakfast, but I can remember my early youth because it was, having lived through it, it was very momentous to me as these things happened. I remember I was signed up to be a Tenderfoot Scout, and and we were going to go on our first camp out. And I said, "Mother, what do I do?" And she says, "Well, you know, there are a lot of things you should think about." She said, "Water," she said, "there's some W's you might want to remember." She said, "Water is one of them. Water is always important. You probably have to take it with you, so let's get you a container." Now, this is back when I was 11. We're talking about 1950. And as a result, we didn't have the kinds of tools and products that exist today. They were virtually unknown in those days. In fact, they were absolutely unknown in those days. So, all right, you're going to have to figure out how to have water. And so water is one of those things. I remember my Uncle Jimmy brought back a canteen from the Army in that little pillow pack that they packed it in with the brass grommets. The web belt that went with it. I remember how proud I was that I could wear, you know, a piece of war equipment. And in those days, there was a lot of war surplus. I guess there's still army, there's still military surplus, but it's not war surplus like it used to be. The important thing is that I had to learn how to. She said, "You must learn how to use water. Do not become dehydrated. Always have some water." And in those days, you could drink out of a stream and not run the risk of the pollution and contamination that you risk today. So water is most important. And so you also, you know, you got to take some weenies. And I said, "What do you mean by weenies?" Aren't they, "You have to keep them refrigerated." And she said, "Well, I don't really mean weenies. I'm talking about food weenie." So the important thing is that the other is make sure you take food that's compatible with your trip or with your storage. Now, you know, the important thing about that food is it should be something that you like. The whole purpose, again, of food preparedness is having all the parts and pieces, the things that you would like to have of choice that you would eat and enjoy as if nothing had happened. And so, under stress, we all want to revert back to when things were good. We'd like to go back to the time in our memory when life wasn't a pain, like a poopy. It was indeed a joy to be alive. And then it's something we could prepare quickly and use effectively and keep our health and our strength up because it's healthy for us. And we have to best be something that we would normally enjoy, not have to. If you store things you don't eat just to have volume, shame on you. What you want to store is the primary things that you like to eat. If you don't like green beans, don't buy a single can of it. If you don't like beets, for heaven's sake, don't even look at the price. It doesn't matter how cheap they are. If people say, "Well, I'm going to buy liquor and beer and cigarettes and candy and bullets because I can trade," let me urge you to buy the things that you want to eat first, foremost to take care of yourself. If you like them, most likely everybody else is going to like it too, because we're all pretty basic people. And you can trade much. I think food will become closer to being the commodity of the future than gold. It's certainly in smaller packages, but the value could be a whole bunch higher because you can't eat gold and you can't eat green beans. So the important thing is buy what you store what you eat. And if you do that, you won't come on remember the three legs to every stool, the stable. Store what you eat what you store. But the third leg of that is if you don't use it, you will lose it. So use it or lose it. Learn how to fix it. Learn how to match this with that. Learn how to use dehydrated with freeze-dried and freeze-dried with regular, with canned foods and home dehydrated foods. You can make your own jerky. You can make it out of turkey. You can make it out of chicken. You can make it out of beef. You can make it out of deer and reindeer and any other moose or whatever you can find. You can, and fish, you can make all kinds of jerky. You just have to know how to do it. So now is the time to learn. because you may not have the resources to do it with, which is fire, wood, or a source for fire that is enduring. You may not have all those resources if you live on the ninth floor of a high-rise apartment building and it's not safe to go outside or even leave your floor. Those are things that you have to think about and be aware of and be prepared for. Now, one of the other things, of course, some of the other W's are warmth. You want to have clothing that will protect you and keep you warm. Even on a hot summer night, it's uncomfortable to sleep without cover, for most people anyway. Not particularly for me, but for most people, what I understand. Another was to be sure that you had the, she called it Wranglers. Make sure you have good protective clothing for the necessity, for whatever climate you're in. And warmth is a matter of having the right kind of protection when they're inclement situations. The other, next one, she said, make sure you take some wipes. And that was what I had to work on. What does that mean? Well, what it means is that sanitation is really important when you're out in the woods. If you're not prepared for that, it can be deleterious to your personal health. So the other is, of course, to have weather protection. And another was, she said, to have a wayfinder, which she explained was a compass, something to find your way, and some kind of weapon. Now, that could be a walking stick. 11-year-old kids don't run around with open carry. I mean, it's not or concealed carry permits or with the skills to handle any of those kinds of weapons. We're talking about the kinds of things that you could use, a hatchet for chopping or a knife for cutting or a multi-knife, one that has a number of operators within it. All kinds, that, and then, of course, keeping a watchful eye on what's going on around you so that you know if there are threats in the woods or out on the desert or wherever you've gone. And then she said there's one last, another is watch care. That means look out for your brother, the people with you. Of course, I had a brother, and he usually tagged along because he's just a year and a half younger. But watch care means that you take care of those who you can, especially your family and your community, because you cannot prepare all by yourself, not in today's world. You live in a subdivision. You live on acreage. It doesn't matter. You don't make your own electricity generally. You can have solar panels. We don't normally build solar panels. Well, okay, I can build a solar panel, but who made the component parts for you? See, you can't do all that by yourself. None of us has the equipment. Oh, equipment. Where would you get equipment if someone didn't make it for you? So being totally capable of living on an island all by yourself, you might do that when life is simple. But here, life is not simple. It's very complicated, very sophisticated in terms of the demands we have on power and light and other kinds of resources, communication. I mean, most of us would die without the Internet anymore because we dote on it. Or your cell phone. What would your life be if you had no cell phone? For me, it'd be fantastic, but that's my personal opinion. I'm already past retirement, so these things all happened, when I was already grown, and my kids didn't. In fact, my kids missed that generation. It's their children. If I have a problem with a computer, I let my 8-year-old kid come in, a grandkid come in and fix it, because he understands all this stuff. My cell phone, I've got a 7-year-old granddaughter teaching me how to use it today. She'd been going over my new phone with me, and she'd never seen the phone, but she understands how they work, and she's able to point out things I would take hours of reading. It would take me hours of reading to figure out. And then she had one other category in her W's. It was called whatever. My mother was part Jewish, and it was really interesting. Whatever, and it was taking care of others and being able to take care of whatever you hadn't planned on before. And having if it missed any of the previous categories I mentioned to you, that was the category it fell in. So my mother had the true spirit of pioneer caregiving. She really understood my grandmother, with whom we lived after this, when my dad came back from the Second World War job that he had, civilian job, because he had five kids. They didn't draft him, but they sent him to work up in about 250 miles away in a shipyard because he was a carpenter, and his job was to build scaffolding around the ships so the welders could do the plates, fix all the welders and the riveters, could fix the plates on the outside of the boat girders or the boat frame so that it would be seaworthy, and he came home every 2 weeks. So we learned to get along without and with ration stamps. I mean, now that I look back on it, it was a great experience. At the time, it was no fun at all. But that's typical of life. You don't seem to be having fun going through, but you look back and say, that wasn't so bad. Now, if you can do that, you can certainly look ahead and plan ahead. So even years later, after my mother's been gone many, many years, I've tried to follow those steps that she gave me in her guidance. And I've traveled more than 1 million miles as an international business traveler. And I realized that planning and executing, taking action, and having these simple rules in mind helped me be able to do that for almost 40 years before I retired. The quality of any trip you take, or whether it be on an airplane, a boat, a train, a plane, whatever, or just going through life, has to do with what most people consider perhaps non-elemental. But to me, it's all elemental. You have to start somewhere with the elements and put them together. So that gave me the impetus for putting together what they're calling today the three-day kit. I called it something else. I called it the emergency. I called it EPAC, which stands for the Emergency Preparedness Action Kit, because it is for emergencies. It's an action kit. And so it's not for 3 days. It may be for 7 days. If you live along the Mississippi, you know, every year it's virtually going to flood. Somewhere along the way it's going to flood. Up from you or down from you or somewhere around you, there's going to be a flood. So how do you prepare for that? You just have to look at the history and the elements involved with it and then make a decision. So next week, perhaps, we can talk about the concept and the execution of a three-day kit, which is really not a three-day kit, but it's the nickname they have for it. And we can talk about the good and the bad and the indifferent parts of three-day kits and the things that should go in it. It's amazing. Something I had not heard of a year ago, it seems to be the number one priority for what people want to put into their kit or are advised to put in their kit. And I'll tell you what that is next week. Now that's a lead-in, or leader, and I'm going to leave it with that. There are lots of things you should not worry about putting into your kit, and there's some things you should be absolutely sure you don't miss in order to be able to preserve and conserve your life. So next week we'll be discussing, unless someone sends me some questions, we'll be talking about the effect of having an emergency preparedness action kit. Whether you bug in or bug out, it will be effective for you to have. And I'll tell you a story about, I'll tell you then about how eagerly my wife looks forward to when the lights go out, so she can say, let's get into that three-day kit, because there's some really good stuff in there that gives us comfort by our selection of comfort foods. So we're pretty well wrapping up today. I'm Dr. Prepper. This has been the Dr. Prepper Talk Show on Freedomizer Radio. Thank you for being a part of it. Certainly appreciate it. And hopefully we come back next week and we'll perfect as much knowledge as we can and help you become better prepared. Or maybe just get prepared, whichever works for you. So, Reverend Emmanuel, I'm ready to check out. So if you're ready to take over, I should be hitting the road.
All right, sir. You have a blessed one.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Have a great weekend all, and we'll look forward to next week. Thank you, and God bless.
You've been listening to The Dr. Prepper Show with #1 best-selling preparedness author James Talmadge Stevens.
Each week, Dr. Prepper brings you useful and timely information on how to prepare for an uncertain future. In times like these, it pays to be prepared. Questions or comments? Contact Dr. Prepper through his website at drprepper.com. Until next time, thanks for listening to the Preparedness Radio Network. And remember, preparedness saves lives.